Well, it was kind of sudden. Last night, I hope all of you are aware that Israel was attacked by Iran. Several hundred drones, cruise missiles, ballistic missiles were fired at Israel from Iranian soil. This is an unprecedented attack on Israel, and it is historic in the sense that no such attack has ever been done before against any country with that kind of assault with drones and missiles. I think back all the way to World War II, when England was attacked by Germany, suddenly the Blitzkrieg, it caught everybody by surprise. Much damage was done. Winston Churchill declared that it was essential for England to respond, and they did. Today, the world is advising Israel to respond diplomatically. My friends, I'm here to tell you that ain't going to happen. They will choose a time and a place, just as Iran had said they would choose a time and a place, which they have done, to retaliate for something that they say Israel propagated. If you believe the lies of the modern press, if you have done your only source of information through the major media networks that are absolutely opposed to the nation of Israel, then you are getting a false narrative. And I want to make sure that we understand that here in this place today, my intent is to bring you some truth, some facts from the Word of God that we all need to hear and understand, because these are the last days in which we now are living. There is trouble brewing. And it's not something that should have ever taken any one of us by surprise. It's something that we all should be very familiar with, very comfortable with even, knowing that God is in control, as Matt so pointed out this morning. The songs that we sang this morning are so, so very relevant to what I believe the Lord put on my heart to share. Now, all of you who have been with us for any length of time know that we typically go through a book of the Bible, verse by verse, as instructed by the Word of God, expositionally, teaching line by line, precept by precept. That's what we were going to do here today. But I have to remember that the last time we were in that study of the book of Acts, where we had been most of the time in these past several months, it hasn't been since the Sunday before Palm Sunday that we were in the book of Acts. Palm Sunday, we diverted from that study. Resurrection Sunday, we diverted from that study. Last Sunday, I wasn't here, and Matt chose to go in a different direction, which, by the way, as I understand, was a very, very good message for you all to hear. This Sunday, I was going to go right back into the book of Acts, try to pick up where we left off. Does anybody remember where? It was such a long time ago. It's actually chapter 21 of the book of Acts, beginning with verse 26. But, again, as much as I was preparing myself for that particular teaching, things have changed. And I want to bring to you this kind of shooting from the hip topical message today. Why are things happening in the world the way they are? What is going on? Is there anything that we can know from the Scriptures that will help us to understand the various things that are taking place throughout the world? How can anyone put together any kind of solution, any kind of understanding, any kind of insight into those things that are taking place, except that they would need to have the revelation of God before them? That is, I believe, the only thing that any one of us can turn to if we are seeking to know why these things are happening and what to expect in the days ahead. Now, with regard to what to expect in the days ahead, one of the songs we sang today was very relevant. And the song basically says, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. He does indeed control the outcomes of all the things that are going on in the world. Nothing is taking our God by surprise. We've focused on that truth so many times in the past, and I emphasize it here today. God knows what's coming. Even if we don't. But we can know that He holds us in the palm of His hands. That's His promise to us. That's His revelation to a people who trust in His Word, that everything will work out according to His will, and He will take care of things no matter what happens. We can trust in Him, knowing that the outcome is recorded for us in this great book. All we need to do is know where to find that information, and to read it, and to believe it, to trust in it, and to convey it to those who don't know it. That's why we're here. We're here for a purpose, and there's precious little time left as far as I can see. Now again, much of what I will be saying today is indeed speculative. I don't want you to come away thinking that Norm is making any kind of a prophetic statement with regard to the end times. I'm convinced that all we need is what the prophetic statements in the Bible have already said are sufficient to know that what we are going to be experiencing is indeed based upon what the Word of God declares. That's my source. Not NPR, not MSNBC, not CBS or ABC or NBC or any of the other stations or networks that are very, very opposed to the things that I would share with you today. If you're still relying on those sources and others like them, I would submit to you that you need to change that which you are using to find out the information that you need to live for God in these last days. I happen to have an application on my cell phone called Telegram. Anybody else have Telegram? Good. You can subscribe to certain channels on Telegram. In addition to being able to use Telegram to communicate messages between you and the people in your contact list, you can subscribe to a very, very helpful, not always perfect, but helpful resource. I say that because even this individual that I'm going to refer to sometimes doesn't quite look at things the same way that I have in the past, but he's convinced me that 99% of the time he's pretty accurate. His name is Amir Sarfati. I've referred to him more than once. He is a Messianic Jew, a Christian who lives in the Galilee region, and he has a channel. You can find him either by his name, Amir Sarfati, or Behold Israel, one word. Connect to his channel. He has been, even though he's 7 hours ahead of us, keeping us very well informed about the things that have been going on just this past evening and into the late night, our time. He stayed up all night, still reporting what's going on in Israel. He's faithful to giving information as he knows it, and he's got a lot of sources within Israel and other places around the Middle East. There are other good sources as well. Seek them out. Learn to trust those networks that are out there that are giving truth based on biblical knowledge truth, and you will not go astray. That's the beginning of what I wanted to share with you. But I also want to share this. We are living in very troubled times indeed. There is much that is going on throughout the world, not only in the Middle East. You all are aware of the various things that are taking place. Wars and rumors of wars are things that Jesus had spoken of in Matthew 24 when he spoke to his disciples as to the end days, what is to be expected. And he shared with them that there will be things that in the end days they will be able to observe to know that it is getting near. And what is it that is getting near? His return. So we're going to be talking about those things that are happening in the Middle East as partly fulfilling that which Jesus had spoken of so many years ago. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. No matter what may come, I know this. God gives us the opportunity to be prepared through the knowledge of His Word. So I say to you, as I have said in the past, be prepared. Don't be scared. There's no need for us to be afraid. Look through the Scriptures. Read Psalm 37. Fear not. Fret not. Don't be alarmed at the things that are happening in the world around you. Know that it has to take place. And it's happening for a reason. At the right time, these things have been developing. There's no such thing in God's vernacular as a coincidence. But remember that Jesus Himself did say that very same thing that I just mentioned with regard to the nations rising against each other. He says in verse 7 of Matthew chapter 24, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginnings of sorrows. Jesus is saying there's more sorrow to come, even though much of that which He just spoke of in Matthew 24 is indeed taking place. In various forms, in various ways, the Lord has begun to move in these last days in spectacular ways with regard to the events that have been taking place. And it should be opening eyes of people everywhere. I remember back a ways when COVID first became an issue. And I don't know how many people came up to me and discussing this pestilence that all of a sudden came upon us, thinking, and they are not believers who say this, they must be, it must be of biblical proportion, this event of COVID. They saw it as a biblical event. Even though they didn't know the Scriptures, even though they weren't professed Christians, they recognized that something's going on in the world that is beyond the scope of our understanding. Why is it happening? And they were beginning to question that. I believe that the event from last night is also an eye-opening event, an awakening event. I believe it's, as my wife Sandy said, it's a Jesus event. It is. It's important for us to let people know, hey, this is happening because the Word of God declares it. Now, what I want to share with you today is the fact that although Israel was able to prevent any damage, they were able to defend themselves against an onslaught of a multitude of various kinds of weaponry coming at them from not only Iran, but also Yemen, Iraq, Syria, and Lebanon. Of course, you all have been very much aware of the fact that the Gaza Strip has been a center of activity for the nation of Israel with regard to their response to October 7th, where 1,200 Israeli people were slaughtered. Innocent people, old men, young men, wives, old women, babies, beheaded, tortured, women raped. These were civilians that were brutally attacked on October 7th. Don't you ever forget it. And don't you believe one minute that the Palestinian right to exist from sea to the river or the river to the sea, it has nothing to do with that group of people that identify themselves as Palestinian. Israel, in the days of Rome, Jews lived in the territory that Rome called Palestine. But it was still Israel. It was still a Jewish nation. It was still the nation that Jesus was born in, raised up in, and crucified in. And all of that happened because God was still very much involved with that little land of, a strip of land that's no bigger than New Jersey, on the eastern shores of the Mediterranean Sea. You know, the Bible says that Jerusalem, which is the rightful capital of Israel, although most of the world doesn't recognize that fact, it truly is, but Jerusalem will be a stumbling block in the last days. It will be a place where the people of the whole world, not just the Middle East, will find offensive. Something has to be done in Israel. Something has to be done with the Jewish people. And the world is turning more and more against this nation. Why is that? Why is such a small, little, insignificant place that has nothing available to it from economy point of view? They have no, well, now they do, but they haven't used it yet. They have no oil that they can pump to all the nations of the world like Saudi Arabia does. Well, of course, they have an offshore natural gas find with trillions of gallons of natural gas that will be piped into Europe eventually. That's something to keep an eye on. It hasn't happened yet. But that's not the reason that the world is against Israel. The world was against Israel before World War II began. And during World War II, remember the consequences of Nazi Germany against the people that God calls his own? The concentration camps, the death camps of Germany. All because they made a point of choosing to hate the Jew. And there are people today who have no idea of any of the history that you and I should be very well acquainted with as believers in Jesus Christ, who hate the Jews today. They have no reason to do so. Other than that, it's, I guess, what everybody else is doing. Does that make sense? Many people are just joining the anger, the hatred against the Jewish people because everybody else is involved in doing the same. It's like a group mentality. Remember when Jesus was crucified, when Pilate was standing before the people with Jesus at his side? What shall I do with this man? And they said, crucify him. Not long before that, they were praising Jesus as he walked into the city of Jerusalem on a donkey. Remember, the crowd influence is a great influence to many people. Don't let it influence your decision about whether or not the Jewish people should be in Israel or not. Look to the Word of God and understand that what the Word of God says is, they are my people, and that is my homeland that I have given to them. There will be no one that can take it away from them because it is God's land and God gave it to the Jews, not to anyone else. Remember that. Understand that. It is a principle that is a covenant arrangement by God with his people that he loves. And there are many, even in the church today, who say, well, the people that are in Israel today are not really Jews. They would say that we, the church, have replaced Israel. And the people in Israel are not the ones that we should be supporting. Many in the church, therefore, are what we would call anti-Zionist. They don't want the Jews or care if the Jews are in Israel today. They're just as fine with the Palestinian Authority taking all the land that they want. The two-state solution cannot happen, because the Palestinians don't want a two-state solution. They want a one-state solution, and it's not Israel, it's the Palestinian nation that they're looking for. They want to wipe out the nation of Israel. And they are proxies to the nation of Iran. Iran has great influence in the area, primarily because their Muslim faith is propagated throughout the Middle East in the form of Shia. There are two groups of Muslims in the world today, the Shiites and primarily the Sunnis. There are other smaller factions, but those are the two major ones. The Sunnis are relatively moderate in their faith. They're not arrogant, typically. They're not wanting to eliminate Israel, most of them aren't at least. They want to seek solutions. That's why it won't be long, I believe, before Saudi Arabia will indeed normalize relationships with Israel, as have already the United Arab Emirates, right up there, and also some of the other nations in that area, as well as the nations in northern Africa. There are many Muslim nations that are saying, you know, we want to have peace with Israel. We can profit from a relationship with Israel, and they already have become very, very profitable with regard to the things that Israel now is supplying to them that they didn't have access before. There is benefit for the people in those countries to go ahead and normalize relationships with this nation of Israel because they have technology that's available to them if they do so. So there's a great impetus for many of those Sunni Muslims to go ahead and say, hey, Israel and we can be friends. We can get along with each other. We can live side by side and benefit from mutual agreements that profit both Israel and our country. They're realizing that. But now we have Iran, who has their proxies in Yemen, and he has a proxy in Iraq with the Hezbollah in Iraq and also in Syria. In Lebanon with the Hezbollah there, there are many Iranian proxies that are trying to upset status quo. Now, all of that which happened last night, it has nothing to do yet with biblical prophecy. I want to emphasize, but with a word of caution, I shouldn't say that it has nothing to do, but it's probably at best a prelude to what is to come. There are two places in the Word of God that I would like to take you today to give you specific information with regard to those things that you and I can indeed be watching for that may come to pass, even though the church may still be here when those things do take place. And we'll talk about whether or not the church will be here much longer as well. But the first thing I want to make sure we understand is the city of Damascus in Syria, the capital city. It's one of the oldest cities in the world. Damascus has never been destroyed. Syria, in ancient times, was very powerful. Damascus was their capital. They were defeated in more than one occasion, but the city itself was never destroyed. Understand that to be the case. And then turn with me to Isaiah chapter 17. There's only one verse we need to look at this morning with regard to what I want to share with you here. And that's verse 1 of chapter 17. Isaiah 17, verse 1 says, the burden against Damascus. Behold, Damascus will cease from being a city, and it will be a ruinous heap. None of us can tell you how that's going to happen. But the Word of God tells us it's going to. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And what the Word of God tells me about the future is that Damascus will one day be gone. Now, Israel, recognizing that Iran has proxies in Syria, within the region, in and around Damascus, they've got a military presence there. They're bringing weaponry into Syria, storing it in warehouses in and around Damascus, and Israel has been preemptively bombing Damascus. that region. The Damascus airport has been hit more than once. Military sites that they have been able to identify have been hit by Israeli cruise missiles or jet fighters. That will continue because Israel's plan is not to seek to destroy, but to prevent from themselves from being destroyed. They could easily wipe out the city of Damascus. And whether or not it is they or some other means by which this word is fulfilled, I present a simple scenario. What took place last night may have been the beginning of something greater. There are many who believe that this could easily explode into a World War III state. And if that does happen, I see a very strong likelihood, because the king in Syria is not a Shiite, but very much like them. The sect of Muslim that they are involved with leans more towards the Shia law than it does to the Sunni law. And they are united with Iran against Israel. So what if Assad decided it's time for us to loosen our grip on those biological weapons that we've been storing for so long and allow for Iranian personnel to put it on their rockets from Damascus and attack Haifa or Tel Aviv? Weapons of mass destruction, biological weapons, could destroy many lives. It wouldn't take more than just a couple of minutes for a ballistic missile to land in either of those two cities from Damascus. But it also wouldn't take any more than a couple of minutes for a nuclear bomb from Israel to land in the heart of Damascus and wipe that city out completely. There's only one way that I know of that a city of that size could be annihilated in one moment of time, and that would be through a nuclear activity. Don't rule it out. It may or may not happen in our lifetime, but it is going to, I believe, take place somewhere down the road. Whether that happens while we're still here or not, I cannot tell you. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And he's in control. And if he allows it, it will be because he chose to. The world will be against Israel if they were to do such a thing. But that's not the only reason why the world might be against Israel. Already we are seeing many people throughout all of the world who are antagonistic toward the nation of Israel, who are doing all they can to make their voices heard in public demonstrations everywhere, in Europe, in the United States, in Canada, in Austria, in Australia, everywhere. The pro-Palestinian fight is on against Israel. It's verbal now, but I suspect that there is coming a day when it'll be more than verbal. Things are heating up to the point where action will be taken. And what is going to be the response of the world? I have a quote from Charles Spurgeon that I want to read to you. He lived in the 1800s. But his words are relevant today. He said this: joyfully we leave the painful present and the unknown future with our Father, our Savior, our Comforter. You leave it in God's hands. Don't fret. It is painful to see these things happening. Many lives are going to be lost, I believe, in the days that are coming. But we know who holds the future. Iran thought that they could do some significant damage last night. They wanted to retaliate. The only thing that they ended up proving is that Israel is well prepared to defend itself against an onslaught from Iran or any other country from the Middle East. At least in terms of the scope in which this attack was accomplished. I submit to you that Hezbollah in Lebanon has somewhere between 150 to 200,000 rockets of varying type, much of them supplied by Iran. They are a proxy of Iran. And it wouldn't surprise me if the next wave of attack might come from that position in Lebanon. That's not the only thing that Israel needs to worry about. And 150,000 or so rockets being launched within a matter of minutes from each other could indeed overwhelm the systems of defense that Israel does have. They proved themselves capable of defending themselves against this barrage. Only a couple, at best, rockets actually fell on Israeli soil. Most of the drones, all of the drones, were destroyed or fell on its way to Israel, never making it there. The only missiles that actually made it into Israeli territory landed in a military base and did no damage, or very little damage at all. They were very fortunate. It caused them to think they're in control. It caused them to be proud of their military. It caused them to be proud of their nation. It caused them to be very, very pleased with their people's ability, their technology that they've got. I believe there's coming a day, though, that that will not be enough. Turn with me to Ezekiel, chapter 38. Most of you are familiar with this passage of Scripture. But I want you to understand that what is recorded here may be in the very near future taking place. Again, this is speculation. I don't want you to think that I'm making a proclamation that this is going to happen today, tomorrow, next week, or any time soon. But I want you to understand that this is what the Word of God says. And when you look at last night's events, and compare it to what the Word of God says, you've got to realize, no, that isn't what Ezekiel was talking about. But I believe it is a prelude to what Ezekiel was talking about. So listen carefully to what Ezekiel declares in chapter 38 of this great Old Testament prophetic book. He says in verse 1, "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog, the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. I will turn you around, put hooks into your jaws, and lead you out with all your army, horses and horsemen, all splendidly clothed, a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya are with them, and all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all its troops, the house of Togarmah from the far north, and all its troops, many people are with you. Prepare yourselves and be ready, you and all your companies that are gathered about you, and be a guard for them. After many days you will be visited. In the latter years you will come into the land of those brought back from the sword and gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel, which had long been desolate. They were brought out of the nations, and now all of them dwell safely. You will ascend, coming like a storm, covering the land with a cloud, you and all your troops and many peoples with you. Thus says the Lord God, on that day it shall come to pass that thoughts will arise in your mind, and you will make an evil plan. You will say, I will go up against a land of unwalled villages. I will go to a peaceful people who dwell safely, all of them, dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take plunder, to take booty, to stretch out your hand against the waste places that are again inhabited, and against a people gathered from the nations who have acquired livestock and goods, who dwell in the midst of the land. And listen, in verse 13 it says, Sheba, Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish, and all their young lions will say to you, Have you come to take plunder? Have you gathered your army to take booty, to carry away silver and gold, to take away livestock and goods, to take away great plunder? They're going to lose that battle. because it tells us that God will intervene in that battle. It won't be Israel's Iron Dome. It won't be their arrow system. It won't be their new laser technology. It won't be their sling, David's sling. It won't be any of those, because those systems will indeed be overwhelmed by the terrible onslaught that will come against them. So let's take a look again at what territories are involved. First of all, he's talking about Gog and Magog, Meshech. That's all referring to Russia. Yes, Russia will indeed be involved in this final battle against the nation of Israel before, I believe, the tribulation comes. Whether or not it's after or before the rapture of the church, which we will also be talking about momentarily, that is still an unknown. None of us can say one of these things or the other is going to happen first. We don't know if Damascus will get destroyed before we're gone or after. We don't know whether the rapture will be taking place before or after the Ezekiel war, but we do know this. All three of those events that I've mentioned so far will indeed take place. It's in God's timing. It's in His way. He's in control. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. Russia will attack. It mentions Persia, which is, by the way, just another name for modern-day Iran. They used to be Persia until 1935. They named themselves Iran that many years ago. But before then, they were known as Persia. In Ezekiel's day, they were known as Persia. It's the same territory. But it also mentions Libya, which you can't see on the map, but it's over here to the west of, to the west of Egypt. Libya is mentioned. In some of your translations, it might say Put. P-U-T, or Cush is mentioned. That would be probably, we don't know for certain, but probably what is now known as northern Sudan, which is down in the southeast western corner of Egypt, down in this area right here. Those nations, along with Turkey. Oh yes, we know Turkey's involved. Turkey is that big guy right there. All of those nations are mentioned in Ezekiel, which we just read, as being involved with the war that he predicts is going to take place in the last days. And take note of the fact that it is Russia that is the leader of this attack. And note also that God says in His Word that He is going to put a hook in Russia's jaw and drag him into this conflict, even though he may not want to be. I read an interesting statement made by Vladimir Putin last night, in response to what was going on with the Iranian launching of those various forms of weaponry. Vladimir Putin said to the United States, if you, the U.S., attack any place in Iran as a result of what Iran is doing against Israel today, we are Iran's friends, and we will respond. I believe there's a possibility of a hook being placed in Russia's jaw through the events that took place last night. It's possible. I don't know the future, but I know who holds the future. But Israel will be invaded, and the hook will be put in place. Whether that is the source of that hook being placed in Russia's jaw or not, time will tell. It could also be the fact that, as I mentioned earlier, there's a huge natural gas field in the Mediterranean Sea. It's in Israeli territory. It's disputed by Turkey and Libya. They don't want Israel to build that pipeline first to the island of Crete and then through Greece and then into Europe. So they've laid claim to some of that territory as being their own. Are you aware that Turkey has now put some of their military personnel on Libyan military bases? Do you know that Iran has been shipping missiles to northern Sudan? Do you know that Turkey and Libya are forming a military alliance? And as I've already said, Russia and Iran have formed a military alliance. These are the key players, people, of Ezekiel's prophetic statement that in the last days these things are going to take place. So when is it going to happen? Again, don't ask me. I can't tell you that. But I know who holds the future. I'm just pointing out to you that these things that are pointed out to us in the Word of God are being manifest and seem to be almost there in terms of their fulfillment. And so what are we doing about it? How are we to be able to live in these last days knowing that these things are going to be taking place soon and very soon? Well, first of all, we need to know that the battle belongs to the Lord. As we sang this morning, in heavenly armor we'll enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon that's fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. That's the nation of Israel. That's you and I as the people of God. We have a weaponry that the world does know nothing about. And that weaponry, the weapons of our warfare, are not carnal, but they're mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. That's the Spirit of God who dwells in the people of God, that we can be light in this dark world and we can proclaim the truth wherever we go. And there is an awakening, as it was so with those children at Penobscot School, so it will be, I believe, throughout the nation. I believe that this nation is ripe for revival, and I pray that it will come. But at what cost? Will God allow this nation to collapse? Will God allow this nation to be attacked? Well, those are scenarios that may possibly be so very close as well. Down in this area where Yemen is, a very short and narrow strait between the Red Sea and the sea that's beyond it, the Arabian Sea. They're already doing their best to kind of get things stirred up a bit by sending missiles and drones at various merchant ships. Well, Yemen can do a lot of damage, and it's very likely that if they chose to, if they were instructed to by Iran, and remember, Yemen is a puppet to Iran through the Houthis, who are now in control in Yemen, they could be involved in closing that little tiny strip of waterway. Iran also has the same capability right there. They've threatened to do it. What does that mean to us? How much did you pay for gas this morning? You want to see it triple overnight? Wait until something like that takes place. That will cripple the economies of not just the United States, but the whole world. They know that. It's one of the cards that they've got in their hand. That's why it really bothers me tremendously to see our president allowing Iran to continue removing the sanctions that were once in place, that were effective, and sending back billions of dollars to Iran, supposedly to help them feed their people, when instead it was used to increase their powerful weaponry to the point where they could now use it against Israel effectively. Our nation is in trouble. Our president was on the phone with Mr. Netanyahu last night, insisting that he seek a diplomatic solution, telling Netanyahu that this nation, the United States, will not help them if they become an aggressor against Iran. We will not join forces with them. We will not support their effort to wipe out the nuclear capability of Iran. And that really is what Israel does need to do, my friends. If they are to survive, they need to do a preemptive strike in Iran. And now they have been given a green light to do so with this unprovoked attack against them. And they have every right as a nation, even as Winston Churchill had the right to declare war against Germany because of what Germany had done to the nation of England, so too Israel has that same right. But people like Piers Morgan are so hypocritical to say that, oh no, Israel doesn't have the right to respond. They should just let it go. That's the mindset of our president and many in leadership in Washington, D.C. I do not support that kind of mentality. I hope that you don't either. Now, you may not want war. None of us do. You may not want to see suffering. None of us do. But the bottom line is this. Israel is real. And it will be completely in the line of what God has intended for Israel to exist, for them to take the action necessary to make it so that they can exist as a people. If they don't take action against Iran now, they will be looked at as a weakened people who will not be able to defend themselves in a future attack. Back to the world economy, back to the situation with the United States. What if that happens in the streets between the Red Sea and the Arabian Sea, between Iran and the United Arab Emirates? I think we can look for very, very difficult times ahead. I think we can expect to see an economy that does indeed collapse. You think inflation's bad now? You wait and see. You think civil unrest is bad now? You wait and see. There are terrorist groups, cells, in this nation. They've been allowed into this nation by an open border philosophy. That should never have happened. But it is what it is. And they are in the United States of America. There are possibilities of threats on the eastern seaboard. Military threat. We're not out of the woods yet. And I don't know what the future holds. But I know who holds the future. Do you know that Iran is a chair of a UN conference, the chair of the Conference on Disarmament? Does that make any sense to you? Iran, the chair of disarmament in the UN. Do you know that the UN Security Council for the first time voted against the nation of Israel and it passed because there was no veto from the United States? The United States was too weak to say no this time. They said, we abstain. And so the thing passed that they were saying that needed to be done in condemnation to what Israel is doing in Gaza. President Biden has insisted again to Prime Minister Netanyahu in Israel, don't go into Rafah, that southern city in Gaza. If they don't go into Rafah, they will not be able to eliminate the threat of Hamas. And if they don't eliminate the threat of Hamas, then they have lost the battle. They will have been totally humiliated in wasting so much of their manpower. Many lives have been lost in this terrible war. And yes, it is terrible. But keep in mind that the enemy is far more terrible than anything Israel has ever done as a nation. And yet the world is complaining that Israel is doing genocidal, terrible things to the citizens, the poor citizens of the Palestinians. If you believe such deceitful lies, then you're looking at the wrong place for your information. Israel is allowing more and more aid into Palestine, but guess who's getting it? Hamas. The Palestinian people are not getting it. Water supplies are being provided by Israel. Guess who's getting it? Hamas. The people of the Palestinians are not getting it. Not because Israel is at fault, but because the people who are in control of this terrible organization known as Hamas have the Palestinian people in the palm of their hands. and they will not relinquish their control. They believe as long as they have hostages in their possession, that they can get the will of the world on their side. Israel is saying no to this. And the world is saying, come on, Israel, you can just let up a little bit, can't you? And the leadership in Israel is saying, look, we're going to go into Rafah, and we are going to annihilate Hamas so they will never, ever be a threat to us again. And then we'll treat the Palestinian people the way they should have been treated by Hamas, but never were. And we'll have to undo what Hamas had done in the way that they brainwashed their children. Have you seen videos of Palestinian teens and younger carrying weapons, toys, in some cases, in other cases, real AK-47s. They're training young kids for one purpose, to kill Jews. Do you think Israel wants that? Would you want it as your neighbor? Would you allow it as a people? I hope not. Why would we expect Israel to do the same? There's so much more that I wanted to share. I'm running out of time. So I just want to end with this. In spite of all that's going on in the world around us, we have a promise. We have the Word of God that declares something to us that we need to be able to share with others. The song we sang at the beginning of our time together. Some glad morning, when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. When the shadows of this life have gone, I'll fly away like a bird from prison bars has flown. I'll fly away. What's that all about? The songwriter had something in mind. And it's from the Word of God, and I want to end with that. As I said earlier, we want to be prepared, not scared. And this is what the Word of God tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Familiar verse to many of us. It's a verse that all of us should be daily reflecting on. And it says this, the Apostle Paul speaking, verse 13 of chapter 4, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, and neither do I want you all to be ignorant concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. You know, if there are people in the grave that we all know, if they came to Jesus Christ before they took the last breath, there's a promise for them. And this is what that promise is. Verse 14, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. That's those who have gone on before us, believers, friends of ours, from this one church. Several people have died in the time that I've been here, and I know them to be faithful believers who will once again stand with us in glory. I look forward to that day. And it tells us in verse 15, this is what we say to you by the word of the Lord. So it's not just Paul speaking. It's not just Paul coming up with some new plan of his. It came from Jesus. Jesus instructed Paul to speak these words. Now listen carefully. I say this by the word of God, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. He's referring to those who are asleep, those who have already died, and us who are alive and remain. We all, he says in verse 16, know this to be the case for each and every one of us who have believed in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. The graves will be opened. The dead in Christ will be rising from the dead. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. That's the promise of what we refer to as the rapture of the church. The original Greek language, which was what Paul used when he wrote that passage, when he said that we, all of us, will be caught up together, that phrase, caught up together, is a simple Greek word, harpazo, and it means to be snatched up, taken out quickly. It is a sudden removal of the church that he's speaking of here. He says, when we are who are alive and just after the graves are opened, that's when this event will take place. A sudden taking away of the church from this earth into the air. And you may think, well, hey, wait a minute. My body wouldn't be able to survive that, would it? Well, guess what? He's got that all worked out. You do know that you are going to have a new body, a different body. And the Bible says that our new body will be like His glorious body. And in that day of resurrection, in that day of the rapture of the church, our bodies will be changed. New uniform, new suits, new clothing, new everything. My pacemaker is going to stay here. My glasses aren't going to be needed. My hearing aids, well, somebody else can take them off the ground if they find them and use them until the battery goes dead. I won't need them. Those who are lame. I'm thinking of a young man who was months ago involved in a major car accident, Josiah Swartz. We prayed for him. He survived. And he's finally now walking on a broken leg with one crutch. And he's doing better. It's a very slow process. But he's making it. He wants to get married soon. He wants to be able to have children. He wants to be able to have a life. But he also knows that if the Lord comes before that, he's okay with that. Because that crutch ain't going to be needed anymore. And all of the pain, all of the suffering that he and everybody else who has ever suffered with infirmities, and we know many. My friend Harvey Smith, almost 2 years now, unable to speak because of a stroke. Our friend Rod, sitting in a wheelchair most of his adult life since who knows when, Valerie knows. This pain, this sorrow, the sickness, there are troubles that we all have to deal with. But what about my loved ones? Yes, if they don't turn to Christ, it is true that they may be left behind. But there's still time. Is it not why we are all still here? Let us redeem the time. The Word of God tells us plainly, redeem the time, for the time is near. And I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And I know that day is coming soon, because the signs that Jesus spoke of are indeed happening today. And perhaps tomorrow and the next day, new things will take place that will completely, completely surprise the world. Will surprise you. You know, Paul the Apostle says, take heed. You who think that you stand, lest you fall. Do you really know what God has done for you through His Son, Jesus Christ? Are you living for Him today? Are you serving the risen Savior? Are you just mouthing the words? Are you committed to believing His Word and trusting His Word for daily living? Or are you just assuming that, well, He's not going to come back anytime soon? After all, it's been 2,000 years. So I don't have to worry about what I'm doing now, even though I know it's a sin. I don't really have to worry about Him coming anytime soon, do I? Oh, yes, you do. And may it not be today or tomorrow or the next day. I'd love it if I heard that trumpet sound right now. All of us would be here in this room. How many of us would be left behind? It's a question that needs to be answered, my friends. everything that's been happening in the Middle East, China against Taiwan, threatening war there, Pakistan and India, both nuclear powers, threatening one another, Azerbaijan, Armenia, Russia and Ukraine, North Korea against South Korea and against us. What's going to happen? What will take place in the days ahead that will convince you that this word is true and you need to act on it? I submit to you that right now it's time to act. Don't delay. If you haven't already accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, do it. It's simple. And if you are willing to take that step of faith, then you can sing with the saints of God. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. For when the enemy presses in hard, we will not fear. The battle belongs to him. Always has. Always will.